Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Mayor Krieger is a professor in the Yale School of Medicine. He has treated over 30,000 patients and literally wrote the book, or at least edited, the most widely used textbook on sleep medicine. Now he's written a book for everyone. It's called The Mystery of Sleep. Mayor Krieger, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Oh, it's great. It's great to be chatting with you today. I think it's now closer to 40,000 patients.
And counting.
And counting. There are so many sleep disorders out there and so many people are affected that the numbers just keep going up and up.
How common are sleep disorders?
Well, it has been estimated that somewhere around 50 million Americans have sleep disorders, and the number may go up as high as 70 or 80 and maybe as low as 40. The exact estimates are not exactly clear, but we know that there are some sleep disorders that are very, very common. Insomnia, for example, is found probably in about 10 to 15% of the entire adult population.
Wow.
And this is chronic insomnia. This isn't just a sleepless night every now and again. This is someone who has insomnia over 6 months, and it's affecting their life.
And that's a medically diagnosable condition. But then there are also a lot of Americans who are simply not getting enough sleep. They don't have a sleep disorder, but they do have what you would call a sleep problem.
They have a huge sleep problem. The average American only sleeps somewhere about 6.5 hours a night and probably needs somewhere between 7 and 9 hours a night. And so a very large percentage of the American population, maybe half even of the adult population, is chronically sleep deprived, which is one of the reasons why whenever you go into any office anywhere in the U.S., there's always a coffee machine and people hovering around the coffee machine early in the morning.
In our case, it's a teapot, but yes.
In your case, it's a teapot.
Yeah, either way, it's the caffeine that we need to keep ourselves awake because we're not getting the sleep we need. How much sleep should we be getting?
The amount of sleep that someone needs is a very personal thing. It varies from person to person. And I'll give you some wild examples. LeBron James, who's a basketball player, sleeps 12 hours out of 24.
Wow.
And he's obviously, some people say he's the greatest basketball player of all time. And there are other basketball players who are not quite as good as him, but close, who sleep 3 or 4 hours a night, who still perform really, really well. So the amount of sleep that someone gets is very, very personal. It's probably determined by the person's genetics. And everybody kind of knows how much sleep they need in order to be functioning at an optimal level.
Well, what are the effects? I mean, I think we all know the sensation of just feeling sleepy, like we didn't get enough sleep last night. But in a longer term sense, what are some of the health effects, and for that matter, even the broader societal effects of having so many people who aren't getting enough sleep?
There are dramatic effects. So I work at Yale University, and a lot of students, for example, stay up very, very late at night. And if they have a class in the morning, they're by definition going to be sleep deprived. And so one of the big things that we see is not terrific performance at school or at work. Concentration, memory, making decisions all become much more difficult when someone is sleep deprived. And then performance degrades. For example, people who are sleep deprived can fall asleep driving. And there have been many instances of people, who have fallen asleep driving and either killed themselves or killed other people. So those are kind of the acute effects. The more chronic effects is that we think that people who have chronic insomnia are much more prone to have certain medical conditions later on, high blood pressure, for example. And so there aren't a whole lot of great reasons to not sleep the amount that you actually need.
I'm talking with Mayor Krieger, author of The Mystery of Sleep. All of those health problems that we know are associated with lack of sleep and sleep problems. Do we know why? I mean, what actually happens in our bodies when we sleep?
Well, we don't know all the answers. And sleep is not just one state. Most of us will spend about 20 to 25% of the night dreaming. And dreaming is a wonderful state where, you know, we can fly away to different places, we can imagine things and so forth. But it turns out that sleep, that dreaming isn't always terrific, that there are some people, for example, who have post-traumatic stress disorder, they will have repetitive nightmares to the point where they may even develop a fear of falling asleep.
Hmm.
So we spend about 25% of our night dreaming, and the rest of the night we're in what's called non-REM sleep. Dreaming sleep is called REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep. So during non-REM sleep, our body repairs lots of things. It repairs tissues, and it really keeps us going. For example, growth hormone in humans is secreted primarily during that state.
Hmm. You note in the book that the amount of sleep that Americans are getting has declined dramatically over the past, or I'd say it's pretty dramatic, over the past 150
yeah.
years, that on average, getting like an hour less per night. Is there any evidence that we can link that to increases in health problems or other changes in the way that society functions?
Well, that's a very, very difficult question to answer because we don't really have a real, what I would call, control group. We don't know what the mental state of the population was before the 1870s when the light bulb was actually introduced. So the answer to your question is we don't know, but we do know that as a result of electricity, the light bulb, and the 24-hour world that we live in today, people just aren't sleeping enough. And we see in the sleep clinic, we see consequences every single day of people either not getting enough sleep or enough of the right type of sleep.
You just mentioned the electric light, and something that comes up in your book repeatedly is social media.
Yeah.
Do you lay some of this problem at the feet of the technology, or do you think this is a matter of lifestyle choices and changes?
Well, it's two things. One is you know, if someone is confronted by media, they have a choice of either participating or not participating, or participating at a time where that allows them still to get the right amount of sleep. We come, this is something that we face all the time when we have patients who are adolescents or in their early 20s who are almost married to their devices. And many of them will sleep clutching their cell phones. They will tweet or send messages the entire night. And we've seen this when we record people in our sleep clinic. And so they become sleep deprived because of that. And it can be a huge, huge problem.
Another population that you point out that's really prone to sleep problems is women. I mean, we tend
yeah.
to think of things like snoring and apnea as being more common among men, some of these medical disorders. But in fact, you cited one statistic that like 2/3 of women say they're only getting a good night's sleep maybe a few times a week, and they're much more likely to actually have sleep problems.
Yeah.
Is that a biological difference, or is that maybe a societal difference?
It's actually both. Because women have menstrual cycles with big hormonal changes every month, because they become pregnant, and pregnancy really has a big effect on sleep quality in every single one of the trimesters. You're laughing.
I'm laughing because I've done that a few times, and absolutely, I can relate.
Yeah, and then menopause. Tremendous changes in sleep with menopause. And so so basically women have, you know, much, in terms of numbers, they have more problems with their sleep. Now, there is a misconception that the disorders like sleep apnea are less common in women than they are in men. That is true up to the age of about 50. Beyond the age of 50, women have as much sleep apnea as men do. Women are not spared from sleep apnea. They present a little bit differently than men do. So a lot of doctors actually don't diagnose them correctly. But it's still a very, very common condition in women.
And then there's another, not a medical condition necessarily, but a whole category of sleep problems that you bring up in the book that was also very familiar to me, and I think to probably any mother, which is secondhand sleep problems. Not that you yourself have a problem falling asleep or staying asleep. It's that you're being woken up by someone else or something else in your household.
That is extremely common. So when a couple comes into the sleep clinic, one of whom snores a lot or stops breathing, it is usually the other person that has brought them for medical attention because their own sleep is really disturbed. And on the average, a woman, for example, who has a snoring bed partner will lose about an hour of sleep compared to what she normally would sleep. So sleep deprivation is actually common both in the patient that has the problem and in the bed partner who has to live through the problem as well.
I'm talking with Merrick Krieger. He's author of The Mystery of Sleep. You point out in that book that lack of diagnosis is still a huge problem, even though I think general awareness of the importance of sleep is definitely on the rise. So what are some of the signs that people should take note of and perhaps, you know when it's time to talk to a doctor about their sleep issues?
It's time to talk to a doctor if someone has trouble staying awake, waking up feeling unrefreshed, having difficulty, for example, at red lights, having difficulty driving more than about 15 or 20 minutes and having to pull over, nodding off during the daytime, having to take a nap every day. So there's a whole category of diseases that cause people to be too sleepy during the daytime. And normally in the sleep clinic, we can diagnose them and we can treat them pretty well. And then there are the other group of patients that can't sleep or they can't stay asleep. It takes them a long time to fall asleep. And once they're asleep, very often they wake up repeatedly during the night and have trouble falling asleep again. So this is another group of patients that we see who are quite distressed by this abnormal sleep pattern. So those are the kinds of symptoms. If anybody has any sleep symptom that's been present for more than just a few weeks, they should really go to their doctor.
I'm hoping you can leave us with some good news, whether it's getting treatment and being able to sleep better or simply choosing to prioritize sleep and getting more sleep. Can we actually make up for lost sleep? Can we repair the damage that's done when we are sleep deprived?
We can actually repair a lot of the damage, and many people will sleep in, for example, on weekends, and that certainly is something that someone can actually do. But the most important thing that people can do, and it's really very effective, is to make sleep a priority. In other words, there are many people who believe that sleep is a waste of time and that, and they'd rather somehow make money and, either on the web or in business and so forth. They need to make sleep a priority, and they need to make it a priority so that when they wake up in the morning, they feel wide awake and alert and ready to face the day.
Do you think we'll ever reach a point where we understand sleep well enough that we could, pop a pill or shine a certain light or have some sort of, quick treatment that does what the brain needs it to do and get rid of sleep?
Well, I sort of doubt it. there are researchers that are trying to breed animals that do not need sleep. But here's the thing about sleep. We think of sleep in terms of people. It turns out that every single living organism, from bacteria to fish to amphibians, all mammals throughout nature, plants, go into a state of rest. So sleep and rest is found in all life forms. And it's not something that we need to ignore. And there was a famous scientist who once said that if sleep isn't important, it's the biggest mistake evolution ever made because it's found throughout nature.
Merrick Krieger is a professor in the Yale School of Medicine, a sleep doctor and author of The Mystery of Sleep. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
And that's our show. You can find Living Lab Radio all week on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab Radio is produced by WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio in Boston. It's produced by me, Elsa Partan, and Heather Goldstone is executive producer. Funding for Living Lab Radio comes from the Candida Fund, investing in transformative leaders and ideas. Theme music by Stellwagen Symphonette.